are listening to Wells Tech, episode 631, recorded for Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. What does church look like? Wells Tech is a podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It's part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we are joined by Pastor Rob Gunther from St. John's in New Ulm, Minnesota. Mr. Gunther shares with us his perspective of what church is looking like for the good folks there at St. John's, and maybe a little bit of creative juices flowing for all of us as we're thinking about what is this new normal? What does church look like in the summer of 2020? We have our tips, picks of the week, community feedback, and a video to share. So stay tuned for all that and more. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 631, recorded on June 16th, 2020. That is a Tuesday. And joining me, as usual, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the lovely, the talented Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am apparently lovely and talented. I never get to say that you're lovely and talented, but you do a lovely and talented job at Wells Tech. How about that?
I'll take that. But it is a lovely afternoon.
Oh, I can't argue with you there.
And Chamber of Commerce kind of day. Yeah, it's awesome outside. But here we are inside. So maybe after work we can get out and do a little bit. It's nice that the sun stays up for a little while now, too.
Yes, definitely enjoying that. Getting some walking in and
a little vitamin
D. Enjoying a little bit more freedom than we've had over the last several months.
And right.
Being outside just is really nice.
It really makes you appreciate that and appreciate creation and appreciate freedom and appreciate the liberties that we have. So very thankful for that. We are, however, going to return to our quarantine / pandemic / whatever you want to call it talk. The good news is, Sally, as we're recording here in the middle of June here in Wisconsin, is that most of our churches are opening in some fashion. Face-to-face worship is happening. I know at our church last two Sundays we've had kind of a modified service with sign-ups and limited seating and a cantor for most of the music, so no singing. Just saw a notice from our church office that we're going to start doing a little bit of singing this coming week, which is good news for us Lutherans.
Yep, we are in a post-pandemic summer. And, you know, the predictions are that it may happen again or we may need to shelter at home again. So we don't know what the future holds, but we too have gone back to worshiping in person and doing the whole sign-up thing so that the thresholds of people that can attend are kept in check. And it is such a joy to be there. And we are singing even. Wow, daring people that we are at our church, apparently. But such a joy to be there and worship and sing with our fellow believers. And we just go outside and fellowship at a safe distance after we're done. And the weather's agreeable for that as well. So it's been very good.
Timing is good. So what we thought we'd do this summer, we always try and pick a topic. And the topic was somewhat easy to pick this summer. A little bit shorter, abbreviated show. We realize people may not have the attention span that they normally would during the school year or church year, so we try and keep it a little bit shorter. We take out a few segments and then kind of focus on one thing, kind of a theme, so to speak, and we get some interesting guests on to talk about the theme. And, of course, the theme this year is what does a pandemic summer look like for a number of people. And we'll look at it from a number of different angles. This week, we were able to and privileged to have Pastor Rob Gunther from St. John's, New Ulm, Minnesota on. Friend of the show, we've talked to Rob a number of times. And we kind of asked him, what does it look like for folks there in New Ulm and for him personally? He's new to that call as well. When we've talked to him in the past, he was up in Kenai, Alaska. Now he's gone south to New Ulm, Minnesota. And so we had a few questions for him about what that looks like. So let's play that interview now.
Joining us on Wells Tech today is Pastor Rob Gunther from lovely New Ulm, Minnesota. And I can even pronounce that, Rob. I was so challenged by saying Kenai in the past. So I'm excited that you're here and excited you're in New Ulm. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your ministry there?
Yeah, thanks, Sally. It's good to be back. It's been a while since I've chatted with you guys, and I'm privileged to be here. New Ulm is a very different ministry than Kenai, Alaska. I went from a church of about 120 members to a church of about 1,020 members. So it's a little faster paced. There's some more meetings here and some ministry blessings and challenges that I'm not used to in a bigger church, but I'm enjoying ministry here. I enjoy being at the foot of the hill at Martin Luther College here and having the influence I get to have on some students and future ministry that the impact will go beyond my own. So I'm excited for all of that. It's been great.
That's wonderful. And we are happy to have you circling back and talking to us on Wells Tech today. We're starting a summer series loosely looking at churches in pandemic times. And we've all been kind of on a roller coaster these last few months, from not being able to meet together to now transitioning and beginning to meet together again, which is exciting to see. Maybe take us back to early March and tell us how things shook down at St. John's with the onset of sheltering at home.
Yeah, in a way, it was all pretty surreal. We went from one Sunday shaking hands and everything was normal to the next. We could only, you know, touch elbows, the holy elbow bit, to being completely shut down the following week. And it was just kind of bizarre, but we'd already been doing services online. We tried to do things differently then. One of the first things we did is our worship committee sat down and said, as we're doing this worship online, we want to have it feel like full worship. So what we did right away initially is we took an old service that had been recorded from the previous year with the liturgy and the hymns and the full singing and all of that, and spliced in a new sermon and a new prayer of the church, and we started putting that out each week.
Interesting approach. I hadn't seen others do that. So so the video itself incorporated people sitting in pews and such, kind of felt normal.
Right. And we wanted to keep a sense of normalcy and have, you know, full singing still. It was a little bizarre for us preaching to a completely empty church. I definitely got my steps in, running to the back of the church, hitting record, running back to the front and then preaching, and then going, wait, no, that didn't come out the way I wanted. So I'd run back to the back of church again. And we had our foibles. My associate once preached his entire sermon and then went back only to realize he didn't hit record the way he thought he did. So,
right. So we're in June now, Rob, and many churches have been given the okay to begin some form of in-person worship. What does that look like for you guys?
Right now we're at 25%, which means we're every third pew. We only have 80 in worship at a time. We keep four services though, so it allows us to serve a good number of our members right now. We're still doing the online, of course, so a lot of members are choosing to stay at home still and watch online. No singing right now, but we're talking about that soon and possibly changing that, looking at what our governor is allowing. We have a sign-up so that we don't have to turn anyone away. So people sign up in advance online with a Google form, and that's been working out pretty well. We know who's going to be there and how many we'll have there. And of course, social distancing. Families are 6 feet apart, and we wear masks for the distribution and lots of hand sanitizer everywhere. We're disinfecting everything in between services. So it's a cautious reopening. It's a slow reopening. Our governor has now allowed up to 50%, but our challenge is that with the 6 feet distancing, that doesn't really allow us to do a whole lot more anyway. So,
So what's the vibe like? Is it significantly different?
It is. It's good to be back face to face. I've had, again, foibles. I forgot that I can't cut and start over again while I'm doing a live worship service. So I've kind of forgotten how to do worship, and we've had our mistakes. I left out the creed on one service, and someone had to yell, "What about the creed?" So we're remembering how to do this again. I'll admit, the first time preaching back this Sunday, I felt like my vicar year. I was nervous because I hadn't done it for so long. face to face, but the vibe is different. There's some who prefer that we're being very cautious. You know, they've got some health issues and some reasons to want to stay clear of getting COVID-19. And we have others who are kind of chomping at the bit for singing. And it's challenging, I think, as the administrative pastor, rather, to try and make those decisions when and where to do it. So I'm definitely talking to the elders a lot, but it's a different vibe for sure.
So let's focus a little bit on technology and maybe were there some wins or some things that maybe you already had in place that worked well for you or things that you came around to in the process that now you're going to continue even as things go back to face-to-face?
Yeah, I can definitely see God's hand working through this and some blessings. For starters, watching our own service that we'd been recording, it took this to force a lot of us to sit down and watch what we were doing and the quality with which we were doing it. And so we've made some changes to our video recording. For example, we now put the lyrics of the texts and the hymns up on the screen. We're doing that in conjunction with One License and making sure we're doing it all well. Making sure that it's a good quality video that we're putting out. And so we've been making steps to improve and we're constantly evaluating and seeing what we can do better. But we realized that a whole lot of our membership was watching just online or on NewCat, that's New Ulm Cable Access Television. Our homebound members, this is their worship. So we've been making improvements there, and they've really appreciated, you know, putting the text on the screen in a big bold font that they can follow along and feel more like worship for them instead of just an observer. So
has that translated into the in-person version as well, text on the screens there, or is that pretty much the same as you had before?
Well, we don't have screens in the front of our sanctuary yet, though there's much discussion to doing that. So it's only been kind of an afterthought as we're editing the video that we put it in later. But so we're talking about it, though, and that might be something we move to down the road here.
Yep. Talking about things. Oh, go ahead, Sally.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
We've been talking mostly about worship, and that's certainly the focus of trying to get people back. But I think one of the maybe overlooked pieces of, you know, our spiritual lives is the Bible study portion, which probably is more conducive to kind of online technologies. Tell us a little bit about your experiences with Bible class and using technology to get people together around God's Word and the study of it.
Yeah, that's something that right away we just jumped into. And I'll say, having served in Kenai, Alaska, actually helped me there because we met on Google Hangouts as a circuit regularly. That was the way we just did it when there's 10 hours difference between churches in a circuit. So I was prepared for that right away, and we jumped into a Bible class online. Instead of Google Hangouts, we went with Google Meet right away, and we averaged about 70 viewers online.
Oh, awesome.
And when we looked in, you know, you can see people on the other side through their cameras. It was families sitting there sometimes, so two or three people per room, and certainly a lot of couples. So we figured if we had 70 viewers, we had at least 120 in Bible class, which was cool to watch because we usually average 95. So immediately there was an increase. And I think Bible class was huge because it gave people that sense of community again. They're not just an observer watching worship on YouTube at home. They're participating. They're in the chat bar or they're raising their hand and asking a question. I always started Bible class an hour early too to maintain that fellowship hour. So I started the thing, and people would jump in on that and just, how are you doing, and praying for you, and they liked seeing, you know, actual people face-to-face again, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely felt that with our Bible classes as well, like, and even the Easter service that Synod did when they did the hymn where you could see people singing the hymn together. I cried. It was just, you don't know how much you miss that.
Right.
Face-to-face until you have that opportunity. So that's really awesome. Are you going to continue the online Bible class?
We are right now. Having gone back to four services, we had to revamp a little. So it's in the evening instead of in the morning. But it's still been highly attended. We've been getting 70-ish still. So that's been kind of fun. What we've talked about it and decided when we get to gather in person again for Bible class, we're going to continue to have this online aspect so that people can join from other places as well. So, yeah, that's definitely something we're going to maintain and continue.
All right, let's talk a little bit about communication, member communication. Obviously, there's all kinds of ways of doing that, email, website, social media. Did you change that up at all? Frequency, messaging, how did that work out to try and stay connected with your community of believers there?
Well, one of the things that we started with in it right away is we sent out the sermons in text as well, with a YouTube video link and with a digital bulletin and with the kids' bulletin and all that. So that helped via email. Our social media presence has really been ramped up. Of course, you guys know Rachel Feld, and we're very blessed to have her as our member. So Rachel and I got together right away and put together a social media calendar where we now do a post every day of the week on Facebook. We talked about how can we increase our Facebook membership, and so all of our members we invited to invite their friends to like our page, and we went from about 350 followers to over 700 in a couple of days. So that's been good. We added a Twitter and an Instagram account. I'll admit I don't know that much about either of those. That's Rachel does that for me. But I think what she does is she sits down once a week and she maps out all the posts and schedules them. So she does it in a couple of minutes and it that's just pops awesome. Up. But then we also went back old school and we picked up a telephone. And Pastor Beauvais and I, we called through with the help of a couple of volunteer members too. We called through our entire directory in the course of a month. And it wasn't that difficult. It took maybe 10 phone calls a day, or a week rather, I mean, with the volunteers that we had. And they all reported in to us, how's everyone doing? And actually, I really appreciated that because at a church this big, you don't really get the chance to have meaningful conversations with people when you have 5 minutes in between services. So we got to connect with some members that we hadn't talked to in a while, and that was really good.
Excellent. Sounds like technology was your helper in, through all of this. So we appreciate you giving us insight into what's happening there at St. John's. Anything else you have planned on the horizon as things change?
I'll add that we did finally make the switch from Vimeo over to YouTube, and that was really good. That our viewership just went through the ceiling. You know, YouTube has 2 billion viewers each month, and Vimeo has maybe 1 million. So for Easter, we had 850 viewers, I should say. So again, if you average there were 2 people in the room watching when large families were gathering, you know, we had maybe 1,700 in attendance. You can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes, virtual attendance. that to me is phenomenal. That's, we average 600 on a good Sunday when MLC's in session. So to have 1,700 in worship, and we've really maintained that. We have about 350 to 400 viewers on a regular basis. So our attendance has gone up, which has been fun.
And I would think that is partially due to the fact that YouTube is just a little bit more accessible. It's on smart TVs, it's on phones, tablets, et cetera, kind of a go-to rather than Vimeo, which takes a little bit more effort.
Exactly, and that's been a big blessing. So moving forward, we're going to continue to work on kind of tidying up our process of editing the videos for worship. We're going to continue our Bible classes online. We're going to continue to try and reach out to our members in whatever mode of communication suits them best and meet them where they're at so that we can share the gospel with them.
God provides these learning experiences in unique ways, and that's a need to keep our eyes and ears open and do ministry in different ways if that is what's needed. So it's all about getting that job done in whatever way possible.
Yeah, and right now I think people are very receptive to hearing some gospel comfort in some trying and
right.
Certain times. So,
for sure. Well, very much appreciate you taking the time to spend with us, Rob, and we'll probably catch up with you. And we won't wait so long to see how things are going over there in New Ulm. There's You do a lot of innovative things, and it's good to see those things in practice. So thank you so much for what you're doing and for spending the time with us today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your ministry as well. I appreciate that I can always go to you when I need some tech help. So,
Of course. All right, take
blessings,
care.
Blessings, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I'll just say right off the bat, thanks very much, Pastor Gunther. It was great to hear your voice on Wells Tech again. It's been a while. We know you've been adjusting to a new call, but we are happy you are back and doing all the cool techie things that you do. And maybe I can just give a little off the record kind of comment. He sent us, after we recorded, a picture of a 360-degree video camera that they were trying out to do this whole immersive video experience. Apparently, someone in his congregation wrote a grant to get the camera for a period of time to try out. So if they end up with video from the 360 camera, we'll have to share that on the show as well. But I'm not surprised at all that it's Pastor Gunther leading the way with some really cool technology and ministry initiatives.
Having Rob on is actually very fortuitous for us because he thinks outside the box, and that is really helpful when you're trying to come up with creative solutions to unusual times. So having him join us and think through a few of those things out loud is kind of neat, and I'm excited about some of the things that he's trying and see if they stick at some point and how all this comes out for him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I keyed in on, and it's just one of the many things that he discussed, was the fact that they have a fellowship hour before their Bible class. And I think that fellowship time is something that we're missing. And when we have met, at least me personally, with Bible class, it's been, okay, is everybody in? Are we ready to start? Let's go. Let's do it. Okay, have a nice day. And you don't really get to speak to people or, you know, see people the way you would normally. And so I really like that they added that fellowship time. I think that's a neat opportunity, especially when we were in total lockdown and couldn't see each other.
Right. So the good people there in New Ulm are getting to experience some of that. And it will be interesting to see how this plays out over time, whether, you know, in non-pandemic times, whether some of these things stick and how they stick and how they can enhance both the worship experience, how they can maybe help the Bible study experience as well. That's maybe where I see a lot of the traction being made, is the ability to kind of cast a little bit wider net, give a little bit more learning experiences for people. I'm sure teachers are feeling that a little bit as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's plenty of people that maybe are more willing to participate in Bible opportunities if they can be done from their computer mm-hmm. instead of in person. So hopefully those kind of things will play into our future, not just be something that we forget about once this lockdown kind of time is past us.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on with the show. We're going to kick out a couple segments, but one that we never, ever kick out is our picks of the week. That's a little segment in our show where Sally and I look around, you know, the desk, the digital inbox, the web, for things that caught our eye and things that we found useful and we wanted to share. So, Sally, what did you come up with this week for your pick of the week?
Well, my pick of the week is pandemic-centric, believe it or not. It's an article that I came across a few weeks ago, actually. I've been holding on to it for this show, and it's titled, What Will Schools Do in the Fall? Here are four possible scenarios. So this article is from EdSurge, which is a pretty leading voice in the education space, and they're talking about how schools will be structured, whether they'll be online or fully back in the classroom or some hybrid or whatever. And they actually keyed off of an article from kind of a think tank group called New America that's out of Washington, D.C. And this group suggested that there would be four scenarios playing out in fall school. One is brick to click. So starting out like normal in the face-to-face classroom and being able to transition or turn on a dime if needed to go back to the online environment. Transition swiftly, I guess, is a good way to say it. The second scenario is click to brick. So starting out with an online presence and doing the learning online in the fall and just waiting to see how things develop and switching back to face-to-face learning the guidelines, you know, allow that or whatever. Mm-hmm. The third would be blended, so you're doing a little bit of both. And then the fourth would be online completely, like the 2020-2021 school year is going to be an online school year, period. Not really taking into account that scenarios might change and allow you to go back to being face-to-face. So they just kind of put out the different options, and they suggested professional development and planning and things around taking one of those four paths. And I would venture to say that there's even probably more paths than this, but the blended learning one, for instance, to the student looks like blended. They're doing online and in person, but it could be that some schools would say half the students are here in person at a time so that the teacher experience is really a full-time face-to-face experience. And the students just kind of switch out depending mm-hmm. on the day of the week or the time of the day or whatever it may be. So there's just so many different ways that you can think about this. And I think, Martin, we're beginning to see some school districts sharing what their plans are. I have a friend, for instance, not a school district, but a university professor friend who is at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And they've made the decision to start the school year. Their first day of classes is going to be August 10th. So they backed everything up a good 3 or 4 weeks from their normal calendar. And the whole goal of it is that they're going to finish before Thanksgiving so that when the students leave college to go home for Thanksgiving, they don't come back until January when the spring semester is starting. I think there's a lot of concern around that, traveling and spreading a virus with the whole Thanksgiving break. So colleges are really being, planning for that scenario and such. So I think we're going to hear more and more of that kind of thing come out over time, mm-hmm. What different people's plans are. Martin, I want to say it was you that I had a conversation with, and you said you had heard of a school district that said plan for your student not to be in school full time in the face-to-face classroom.
Right, I believe it was the Sun Prairie School District here in Wisconsin that had at least given the parents a heads up that that was to be expected, so that those parents that needed childcare or needed in some way to manage children at home when maybe they have to go into work, and that was that's an abnormal circumstance for many of them. That's going to obviously create a need to do some serious planning, to make that all happen. What will be interesting, I think, is by grade level and by institution, it may be all over the board, all over the map, because what you can do at a college campus like mm-hmm. on Chapel Hill would be very different than what you could do in a middle school or lower grade classroom, even down to wearing masks or social distancing or expecting. I mean, you're not going to expect a pre-K or a kindergartner to understand the concept of social distancing. It's just not in them.
True.
So it's there's going to be a lot of differences, I think, in how different school systems and individual schools are going to have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been out shopping a little bit and noticed that parents are bringing children along, and children just don't get it. They don't have mm-hmm. anything to hold them back from being near other people or whatever. So it's got to be hard. It's got to be tough decisions that our schools are going to be needing to make. So
yep. Okay. Let's go to my pick, which has nothing to do with the pandemic, but it is a constant theme of mine to try and find tools that help us support others. And we've talked about things like TeamViewer in the past and other tools that can provide remote support, join.me, et cetera. I stumbled on this the other day, which I didn't know existed, and it has been, I think, in Windows 10 for a little bit. It's called Quick Assist. So if you have a Windows 10 person that you're trying to support, and you have Windows 10, as many people do, Majority of people, I would say, have that installed. Right there in the menu, you can find something called Quick Assist. And if you just hit the Windows key and type Quick Assist, you're going to come up with a little box that provides a number that you can give the person that you want to give to support the support to. And if they hit the Windows key and type in Quick Assist, they click the link and they have a box they can type that number into. So you give them the number, they type in the number, and basically you have a screen sharing session. You can either watch them navigate their screen or you can take control. So I did this with my mom the other night. She was having some issues and I was able to easily see her screen. Now, in the past, I had to install TeamViewer on her machine, and I kept it on mine, and I needed to keep the password so that I could get in, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what this does do is it requires the other person to be in front of their machine and to be able to see their screen and hit the appropriate keys, but that's normally the case anyway when you're providing support. So totally free, comes with the operating system. I would say it worked extremely well. The speed and clarity of it all was nice. It has a few other extra features. It's not as full-featured as something like TeamViewer, but very often all you really need is to be able to operate their machine or to be able to see what they're seeing, which is one of the biggest challenges when you're working in a support role, is having to describe, you know, click this, or you should be seeing that, or tell me what's on your screen, or no, it's not that box, it's the one above that box, or the upper left or lower right. You know, it's just, it's impossible. So to be able to screen share is a real time saver, and this is just one of those tools that is, if you're a Windows 10 user and you're supporting a Windows 10 user, is now in your toolbox. Again, that is Quick Assist. I'll put a link in the show notes to a Windows Central article about how to use it. It's really actually very simple, but give it a try.
Sounds like a great tool to add to the tool belt.
Good. Absolutely.
Stuff. All right. Well, moving right along from picks of the week, we are going to keep at it with our community feedback because we have a great Wells Tech community and always interesting things to share that people have shared with us in various ways. First up, I heard from teacher friend Stephanie Arndt. She actually teaches at your school, Martin. Peace, yes. In Hartford, Wisconsin. And she sent a couple of things. One was that she was listening a few weeks ago when I made a pick of the week of a flat teacher adventure. So going off the flat Stanley kind of concept, someone had come up with a way to use your Bitmoji and print out and maybe laminate a picture of yourself as a Bitmoji, a cartoon of yourself, and send it to your students to have them take you along on adventures, perhaps over the summer or whatever. And Stephanie sent a picture, we'll have to include it in the show notes, of her flat teacher attached to a letter ready to go out to her students. So I thought that was pretty cool that she's a flat teacher these days. She also recommended a brand of Internet of Thing devices that I wasn't familiar with. It's called Wyze, with a creative spelling, W-Y-Z-E. And the Wyze products are kind of all over the board. They have cameras and light bulbs. I think they have a smart scale. They have
thermometers.
Yeah, door locks, keypads, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. Stephanie actually had one of their fitness bands, which I had mentioned not long ago on the show that I had a new fitness band from Fitbit, which I got the low-end band and paid $50 for. Now it turns out the Wyze band
lower,
is $25.
You pay way too much, yes.
Exactly, half the price. And she says she's had their products in the past and was really pleased with them. Have you ever had any Wyze products, Martin?
I haven't, but this is intriguing. The price is right on some of these.
Yeah,
things.
Definitely worth giving it a try. I think she mentioned she had cameras and light bulbs and things and was very pleased with them. So if you're in the market for some of those kind of gadgets, maybe this is something to put on your radar and check out. All right. Next up, we heard from Cindy Krieger, who's over in Michigan, and shared a link. I think she shared on Facebook a link to something called Child's Prey. And what Child's Prey is a website put together by some MLC students specifically to provide some materials that they've created for doing a vacation Bible school during quarantine. So that, you know, perhaps parents could do this in their homes or small groups or whatever could get together and have a small vacation Bible school experience. They basically put together five different stories, and they have the stories written out in ways that you can easily share them with your children. And then they have activities and things around that. And I thought it was really well done. The stories include God Loves Me So Much, the story of Job, God Loves Me and Gave Me My Body, the story of Daniel, He Gives Me Tools to Serve Him with the Armor of God, the Fruits of the Spirit, and He Gives Me My Friends with the Good Samaritan story, and finally He Wants Me to Serve Him with the story of Ruth. So that's kind of the five-week or five-day overview if you wanted to do it in 1 week or whatever. Just did a little more digging into the students and the things that were being shared on the site, and found that at least one of the students that's involved in this site is also serving this summer out at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. And they're working together to publish summer Sunday school lessons. So they have a video YouTube channel dedicated to Sunday school in the summer of 2020. So if you're looking for Sunday school resources for your kids, you can tune in to these two MLC students sharing Sunday school material each week. So they tell the story and talk about different things around it and things like that. It looks like it's really well done. So yeah, definitely check out the links to Child's Pray and Summer Sunday School.
Yep, they've got activities for the kids of all ages, and I think they've kind of covered the bases here. So they're a very nice labor of love for sure.
I agree. Next up, we heard from Michael Vlieger, who serves as a teacher at Risen Savior in Mankato, Minnesota, and he sent us a link. I think this would be a Rachel Feld-approved link because it came from Ditch That Textbook, which is something that Rachel definitely highly recommends each time she's on the show. What it's titled is Awesome Teacher Summer Professional Development Bingo Choice Board. So basically, the man behind Ditch That Textbook, I think I have his name, Matt Miller, put together this bingo card, and you can work on doing a lot of different things like getting Kahoot certified or go beyond the basics with Flipgrid or dig into free tech like a pirate resources. Wow, that's really hard for me to read for some reason. Tech like a pirate instead of talk like a pirate resources. So just kind of pointing you to different free things that are available on the web, and you know, encouraging you to work towards getting a bingo or filling your card, as he laid it out over at Ditch That Textbook. And each of the spaces on the card has more explanation on this web page and links to help you get started with the different courses or certifications or whatever it is that you might be interested in pursuing. All kinds of stuff. Let's see. He's got Pear Deck represented. He's got Microsoft products, OneNote and Teams, as well as Google Sites, Google Sheets, Teach with WE Schools, WE Schools, I guess. Learn more about dyslexia and dyslexia awareness. I might need to to take that.
Yeah, I'm
one.
Wondering if that's what's going on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Maybe something your faculty would want to compete to see who can get the best bingos on the card. So, cool stuff.
Very
Michael.
Nice. Good. Thanks for sharing that.
And then finally, Free Bible Images, something that I've followed for many years now. Just an amazing site that puts together a lot of Bible imagery, both photography as well as illustrations, and makes them available for free. They have sets of images around Bible stories or Bible events or whatever. So, you know, if you look up, for instance, Moses or the Ten Commandments or whatever it is, you'll find a lot of different illustrators have done story sets around that. And when you download a set, maybe it's 10 or 12 images that you're getting, not just one. Anyway, they sent an email today that said they have passed the 1,000 mark in the number of sets of images they have available on the website, which is just a really huge blessing to many people around the world. And I thought it was pretty cool. They kind of did a countdown. This is our 997th set. It's scenes in the life of Joseph. And then our 998th was Abraham and Lot and so on. So they put down what the 1,000th set was and all the way through to the 1,002nd set, which is actually a photo set of pictures about Jesus teaching about his father in the temple. So just a wide variety there. You can search it in many different ways. You can get the images in many different formats. They have them already embedded in PowerPoints and things, or you can download them in different formats. And I think the only real restriction is that they want you to use them for positive biblical teaching. That's what they request in their licensure on the site. So definitely make use of freebibleimages.com.
Very nice. That does it for community feedback, and it is so easy to be a part of that, and we wish you would. Just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Very easy to remember. Easier yet, wellstech@wells.net is the email address if you'd like to share. But if you go to that show notes page, you'll see a link for that email, but also all the social media places. Our Google Groups is a great place to ask questions, to offer advice, et cetera, et cetera. So we would welcome you to any of those places to contribute to the show with either a comment, question, suggestion, criticism. We'll take them all. So please do that this summer if the Spirit moves you. Sally, we still do the video of the week. What do we have this week?
We do, and we're circling back to Pastor Gunther's interview and sharing a video from St. John's in New Ulm. This video was actually their worship video from May 17th, so about a month ago. But the reason we're sharing it is because it's something Pastor Gunther mentioned in the interview and the unique approach they took to their worship videos. They actually took the worship video from the sixth Sunday of Easter in 2019 when they had a church full of people and everything, and they spliced in this year's readings and sermon text and sermon instead of it being an empty church that they're doing their video of. It's a church that's full of people that are standing up and singing together and doing the liturgy together. They've taken the time to add hymn lyrics and things like that. And it just is a completely different feeling than what I've experienced with worship during the pandemic. I think it's a really unique and cool approach to actually use former video footage so that you're feeling like a little more normal as you do this worship from a distance. So check it out.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Sally, for all you do. Thank you to our listeners. We're going to return in a couple weeks and talk, continue our conversation on ministry during a pandemic. And we'll have another guest interview. And we're looking forward to talking to somebody else about how their summer is shaping up and dealing with the unusual things that the unusual opportunities that the Lord is putting in front of us this summer. So, thanks everybody for joining us. We will talk to you.